Well, good morning, everyone. We are so grateful that you have joined us online. Every week, we look forward to coming into your living room, your apartment. Maybe some of you are already back in your college dorms. However you're watching us, we are so grateful that you have made this a part of your life. And we hope that these services are encouraging you and bringing hope to your life. And so if you're watching on Facebook, thank you for tuning in there. If you're hosting a watch party, I hope you're interacting and praying for one another, checking on one another, having conversations about the worship and about the preaching. If you're watching on YouTube, we're so grateful that you have subscribed and become a part of our YouTube family. Or maybe you're watching on newlifechurch.org. Or if you're living on the Front Range of the Rockies, maybe you've tuned in on KRDO. However you found us, we are grateful to be a part of your life today. And we're in a series of messages on Revelation. So turn there in your Bible to Revelation chapter 2, and we're actually going to cover chapter 2 and chapter 3. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that we have in-person gatherings right here at New Life Church every Sunday, at Friday nights at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., Sunday night at 5 p.m., and we have a Nueva Vida campus, a Spanish-speaking campus that meets down south of town. We have our campus in Manitou Springs that is already meeting again. They're back into in-person gatherings. We have our East congregation has relaunched out at Grand Peak Academy, so they are meeting every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., so there's lots of opportunities for you to come and be a part of in-person gatherings, and for some of you, let me just say to you as your pastor, it is time for you to come back to church. Now, if you have pre-existing health conditions, if it's not safe for you to come back into public gatherings, we completely understand, and we're grateful that you can join us online. But for many of you, it is time to regather with the body of Christ, and we just want to invite you to come be a part of that, all right? We would love to see your face at one of these services. All right, are you in Revelation chapter 2, right? Turn there with me, and we're going to talk today about a bit of a sensitive topic for a lot of people. I'm going to talk to you about our call, God's call on our lives to be a part of the imperfect church. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, John is on the prison island of Patmos, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord comes and gives him revelation. It begins to give him a different way of seeing things, and the book of Revelation is wildly misunderstood. But the book of Revelation is a gift to us. It pulls us into a world of sky battles between angels and demons, glorious salvations, epic punishments, and cosmic songs. And now I know when you're reading Revelation 1, 2, and 3, the beginning of this book is actually very pragmatic. It's very instructional. It sounds a lot like the other books of the Bible, but I promise you we're about to get to Revelation 4. And we're going to go to Revelation 5, which in my opinion might be the two best chapters in all of the Bible, Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. And then in Revelation 6, we're going to tackle the idea of evil and what evil has done in our world and what it continues to do in our world. But before we can get to heaven and worship and evil and justice, we have to get this straight. We have to get the idea of church straight in our minds. So think about how Revelation is structured. It starts off with Jesus. Then it talks about the church. And then in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, it talks about worship. We need to understand Jesus. We need to understand his church. And we need to understand worship before we can ever confront the evil in our world. And Revelation, the word Revelation means apocalypse, which translated is to uncover, to reveal something to us. So we're about to read Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 7 verses of this chapter, and it's his letter to the church in Ephesus. But before we do that, can we just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear? Remember, Revelation 1 says, blessed is the one who hears this. Blessed is the one who understands this, who listens to this. So let's ask the Lord to give us listening ears today. Father in heaven, give us ears to hear. Open up our hearts. Give us holy imagination. Give us prophetic insight. Disturb us, comfort us, strengthen us with these words. And we ask this now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of you online said really loud, disturb your neighbor by saying amen. All right, Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read the first 7 verses. And this is one of 7 churches that he addresses. All of these churches, by the way, were along a Roman postal circuit, which is now modern day Turkey. And John found himself in each of these cities speaking to each of these churches before he had been exiled out onto the island of Patmos. And this is his letter to the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. What an amazing imagery that is. And listen to what he says. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I love how John affirms and how pastoral he is to the people. He said, I know how hard you're working. I know how you're persevering. I see what you're doing. And I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you've not grown weary. New Life Church, can I just remind you that in COVID-19, don't grow weary right now. Keep your heart full. I have seen your hard work. I've seen how you've persevered, and don't grow weary. Verse 4 says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent, underline this, please. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to where you started. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Look at verse 6. But if you have this in your favor, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So he starts out with affirmation. He corrects them, and then he leaves them with hope. This is the pattern, by the way. If you ever want to have hard conversations with someone, start out by affirming them, speaking truth to them, and leaving them with hope. This is exactly what John does. This is a beautiful biblical rebuke. This is how it's done. This is how you treat people. This is how you have hard conversations with people. John models this for us in this letter. And the church, by the way, constantly needs reformation. The church needs constant reformation. We're living in a time and a season where the church, in many cases, the large church, the big idea of church, we look across the landscape of the world and we see that it's still today, 2,000 years later, we need to be affirmed, we need to be corrected, and we need to be left with some hope. But the church always needs confirmation. Every church, by the way, is incomplete. I don't know if you think, maybe some of you believe that you belong to the perfect church. I promise you, your church is not perfect. New Life Church is not perfect. We make mistakes. Every church is incomplete. All congregations are broken and sometimes messy. Let me tell you why. Because every church I've ever been a part of is filled with sinners. And many of them are being led by people who are imperfect. So imperfect people being led by imperfect people makes for sometimes a messy situation. I love what Eugene Peterson says. He says, the fleas come with the dog. So I love that. That speaks to my Southern background. You know, I'm from the South. And I love how Eugene Peterson says that the fleas come with the dog. By the way, when you go to church, you can expect 2 things to happen at church. You can expect your life to be radically changed by the power of the Spirit. And you can expect to be disappointed by people. That's the truth. And so when you find yourself at church, just know that I'm coming into church knowing that I'm going to meet with God, that God's present among his people, that the Spirit's already moving among these people. But from time to time, I'm going to meet someone, have a conversation with someone that is probably going to go wrong and it's going to disappoint me. But that means I just dig my heels deeper into the church. I'm not looking for reasons to leave the church. I'm looking for reasons to heal the church. Look, I want to remind you that some of you have been disappointed in the organized church. That's not a reason for you to leave. It's a reason for you to come back in and be a part of the solution. Come back in and be a part of the healing. In fact, most of the churches, most of the 7 churches, not all of them, but most of them had serious problems. He says to Ephesus, you have lost your first love. What an amazing rebuke. You've lost your first love. Look how far you have fallen. And then to Pergamum, he says, you worship idols. To this church, you got a whole bunch of idol worship going on. I mean, John does not mince words. He says to Sardis, he says, you're dead. Basically, he said, your whole church is dead. You have a dead church, he says. But he leaves them with hope after that. And then he says to the church in Laodicea, he says, you're lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but instead you're lukewarm. And then he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I mean, what a gross thing to think about the letter that he writes to the church. But the point I'm making is that every church, even the churches that John led, had problems. So if you're wandering around the universe right now looking for a perfect group of people who are perfectly worshiping God, you're going to be disappointed. So what happens when we find ourselves in the messiness of church? What should we do? How should we respond when we find ourselves in a difficult place, when we find ourselves in the brokenness of the church? This may surprise you, but here's the first thing we do. We repent. When you are wrong, we repent. When I am wrong, we repent. But the reason that repentance is so powerful is that repentance turns us in the right direction. When you repent and confess, and by the way, let's not make this too complicated. You know what repentance is? It's by saying, I'm wrong. I own it. I made a mistake. That was my bad. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming my mother. I'm not blaming the environment. I'm not blaming anyone else. I made a mistake. I was wrong. I want to make it right. Please forgive me. I am so sorry. That's what repentance sounds like. And repentance turns us in the right direction. In fact, every time I've ever taken giant leaps in my maturity toward God, every time I've ever made big steps and found myself growing up a bit in my faith came when I repented. Repentance is the key to every single step of growth in your life. In fact, all spiritual advances begin with turning away from what's hindering you and toward obedience to God. Repentance literally means I am going to stop disobeying. I'm going to stop this. I'm quitting this. This is wrong. This is breaking me. This is not good for me. I'm pushing this away. And then I'm turning my face toward the cross, the resurrected King, the power of His Spirit, and the glory of His church. And by the way, when you repent, repentance doesn't take our consequences away. But let me tell you what's powerful about repentance. It invites God into our consequences. Repentance doesn't take them away. Listen, there's a price to pay for disobedience. When you mess up, when we fail, there are oftentimes real consequences. But what repentance does, it invites the gracious and good God into that moment. And let me tell you something. I would rather walk through my consequences with God than to walk through my consequences without Him. And repentance invites God back into your consequences. This is why John's letter to the churches is so hopeful. He confronts them with their sin. But then he invites all four of the churches that he rebukes, he invites them to say, hey, but it's not hopeless for you. There's going to be real problems if you continue walking this way. If you keep doing the same things you've been doing, there are some horrible consequences in front of you. But John, in his gracious pastoral nature, says, but God wants to come right now, even in your messiness, even in your brokenness. If your church, by the way, if you're part of a church that's really broken and messy, by the way, when that church repents, God steps it back into that church. Repentance opens the door. Repentance allows God back into that place of messiness. And maybe you're part of a congregation where you're really discouraged right now. Let me tell you something. God's not given up on your church. God's not given up on you. God has not given up on your marriage. God has not given up on anything that He's promised you. But oftentimes, the reason God's not as close as you want Him to be is because we've never taken the first step of repentance. And then the second thing he says is that not only do we want you to repent, this is his letter to Ephesus, but he said, return to our first love. Come back to our first love. Come back to it. Look at the word return. He says, return. Come back to where you started at the beginning is what he says. And I want to remind you of how you came to Christ. Can I just take you back? I want you to take like 30 seconds here. And I want you to remember the moment in your life where you knew that God's grace was sufficient for you. where you surrendered your life, your soul, your mind, your heart, your imagination, where you sold out to God. Can you remember the first time that ever happened? Where you really surrendered yourself, where Christ became King, where Christ became Lord. And can you remember how assured you were of His love for you and your love for Him, where the love was reciprocating between you and God? You knew God loved you and you knew you loved God. That's what John is telling us. Return back to that moment. Repent of where you have fallen and failed, and then come back to that place, that first time you fell in love. At our house right now, there's a little pillow that I bought Pam for Valentine's Day last year. And on the pillow, it says, "It all began at Snuffy's." Well, it was actually in June of 1986, I think, something like that, June of 1986, that I took Pam to a little pizza place after church one Sunday night. The place is not even there anymore. It was Snuffy's Pizza. And it was there across the table from her. There was a group of people with us. We weren't on a date necessarily, but I was kind of stalking her. And so I was there, and I looked across the table at her, and I realized this is a young lady that I want to get to know better. And I asked for her phone number. It all began, I remember that moment where I looked across the table and I said, "I think this is a young lady I want to get to know." Now here we are 35 years later. She's been my friend. We've been married 31 years. But I can remember when my heart first turned toward her. I can remember the first time my mind and my heart awakened to the love that I was going to have for her. Listen, this is what John's telling you to do. Come back to that place. Go back to that spot. Go back to the time where you first fell in love with God and where you knew His love for you was good. Look at Psalm 27. Let me read this to you. Psalm 27, it says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." This is exactly what John was imagining, coming back again and again. Listen to what he says. He says, "I may dwell." I will dwell. The word "dwell" here is really fascinating. That word "dwell" means to come back, to return time and time again. And see, this is what church does for us. Church gives us a weekly opportunity to come back, to return. I don't know what's happened in your Monday through Saturday. I don't know what's going on in your weekday, but I have some really good news for you. You can come back to church. And the church is the safest place in the world to be broken. It should be the safest place in the world. And what church, the power of the church, is we return. We keep coming back week after week. And sometimes people say to me, "It seems like y'all do the same thing every week." Yes, we pray. We read the scriptures. We come to the Lord's table. We recite the creeds. Why? Because it keeps us coming back. It keeps us dwelling in the presence of the Lord. It keeps us seeking God. It recenters us. See, what happens throughout the week is we get knocked off center. We get knocked off our game. We somehow our plumb line gets readjusted. But Sundays, for me, when I walk into this building, I know certain what we're going to do. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to hear the scriptures. We're going to recite the creeds. We're going to remember what's important to us. And we're going to return to the table of the Lord. And this keeps me dwelling in the presence of God. That's why I love church. That's why John in the book of Revelation loved church. It keeps us dwelling in the presence of the Lord. So let me ask you a question. What keeps us from dwelling? What keeps us from returning? There's three things, and I want to remind you of these three things. Number one, busyness. Some of you are just too busy. Some of you need to readjust your appetites. You need to readjust your schedule and make sure that you are gathering again with the body of Christ. I've heard this from a lot of people. They say, "Pastor Brady, we have new habits now. Because for the last 6 months, you've told us to watch online, and we did exactly what you said. We're watching online." Well, now I'm telling you, if you need to watch online, watch online. But for many of you, you need to readjust your habits and make it a habit to come back to church. Because you're busy doing other things. You're not sitting in your house all day on Sunday. So make sure that busyness has not replaced your worship. Another thing that happens, a lot of people stay away from church because of shame. Maybe something's happened in your life, a divorce, some kind of sin issue resurfaced and you just feel embarrassed. And maybe something went wrong in your life and you feel like that if you walk back into the building, that you're going to be judged and you're going to be shamed. Let me tell you, that may have happened in other times, but I can promise you, we're working really hard at New Life Church not to shame you. You haven't heard me shame anyone. I want you to come. And by the way, Jesus himself is accustomed to messy homes. Jesus is not embarrassed. Jesus is not withdrawn from you. In fact, Jesus runs toward us. That's why the parable of the prodigal son is so important for us to understand, that when that young boy in Luke chapter 15, he is covered in pig dirt. He is covered in sweat and mud. He doesn't look his best. And he's walking back home toward the father's house and he expects to be shamed. He expects to be embarrassed. Instead, the father looks out and sees the son walking toward him. And the Bible says that he lifted up his robe and he runs toward the son. And before the son can offer up any excuses for his bad behavior, the father wraps his arms around the son and hugs him and kisses him and says, "My son, who I thought was dead, is now alive." Listen, if I can sear something into your imagination today, let me just sear that into your heart. Let me remind you that the Father in heaven is watching you. He loves you. He wants you to return. And I promise you, the body of Christ may not always get this right, but we're working really hard to make sure that church is a safe place for sinners to come home, for the prodigals to return home, busyness and shame. And then the third thing is idols. Maybe you're worshiping the wrong thing right now. And I just want to remind you that church reminds us of the one who is worthy of our worship. Church reminds me every week that that Christ is the reason for my salvation, that it's the resurrected Christ that is returning to redeem me, that it's the Spirit that was sent to reform me. The worthless idols that I sometimes pick up during the week, when I come into the presence of God, I realize how worthless the world is to me and how beautiful God's majesty and grace is for me. I promise you, you need the church right now to make sure your attention, your appetites, and your worship are centered on the right thing. So despite my busyness, for the healing of my shame, and at the expense of my idols, I will return again and again to the presence of God. Let me say that one more time. Despite my busyness, for the healing of my shame, and at the expense of my idols, I'm going to return. I'm going to come back and dwell in the house of the Lord and in the presence of God. What happens is sin separates us and it fragments us. Sin sentences us to isolation and solitary confinement, but the church has the power of heaven. Listen very carefully. The church has been granted authority and power to restore us, to unite us, and it sets us in community. It's in the church that we, instead of I, we becomes I, us becomes me, our becomes mine. We lay aside our individualism and we pick up the beautiful community that God has ordained for us all along. Listen, I want to invite you one more time. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been confused. I know you've been disappointed maybe in the church. But I want to tell you something. As a leader of one of the churches here in Colorado Springs, I want to welcome you back home. I want to invite you back into the community of faith. And I can promise you that you're going to meet God and you're probably going to be disappointed again in people, but this is the place that God's called us to for all of us to grow up and become more like Jesus. Let me pray for you right now. Father in heaven, we welcome you. And I stand here today in front of this camera talking to the people that are watching online. I know that I'm imperfect. I know that I've not always gotten it right as a pastor and a leader. And I know the church that I pastor, although I love them and I'm grateful for New Life Church, I know that we're imperfect, that we've not always gotten it right. But Father in heaven, we pray now that you would come and be centered in our lives. We welcome you back to the center of our church. I pray if nothing else happens at New Life Church, that Christ would be worshiped, that Jesus would be center, that you would be the place of our divine devotion. And Father, I just pray now for healing for every person that's watching that's been harmed by any church, been harmed by leadership, or harmed in any way. I pray right now you would heal them and strengthen them and welcome them back. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.